Okay, who does a live podcast while laying in bed and sipping on wine through a metal straw? Me, bitch, that's who. It's your girl, Edith Yolanda, with the goddamn truth, the dame herself. You know what? Today was a long day. I mean, a very, very long day. So, you know this podcast is not going to be long at all. Just from the sound of my voice, I can hear the tiredness in my voice. So I know you guys can. Listen, I have my niece and nephew. They're back in school. I got to get in the whole routine of like getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning, plus getting them situated and working, and then doing my side gigs, and then coming home and doing this. And so, like, my days are just extended. But you know what? I love it. I love the fact that I'm busy. I love the fact that I'm booked and busy. I love the fact that, just God keeps blessing me. So, I'm gonna do my podcast from, laying in the middle of my bed, sipping on a glass of wine until I can relax and release and go to sleep. But I like talking to you guys, so I'm gonna do this, and it's not gonna be long, it's gonna be brief, but I'm gonna do this because it's in me. It's just in me. You feel me? So anyway, a lot of you guys probably checked out my podcast because I did post it up once on my social media, but I didn't really advertise the last podcast because it was more so a trial run. I have a wonderful, wonderful friend. Like, I don't think anybody understands how much I love Remy. Like, this is my brother. It's so weird because it's like he's my brother, lover, friend, but we're not lovers, but I love him. And he's like my brother, but he ain't. And we're like friends, but we never met. It's such a weird combination that you'll probably, like, if it were anybody else, like, if this situation was on MTV, you would be like, bitch, you're definitely getting catfish. But it's not that. Like, I know him. We grew up in the same town, we went to the same high school. We never met, and that is the crazy thing. But we have mutual friends. It's so strange. And we were having this conversation the other night, and he was like, because I met him probably 6 years ago through Facebook, and I was telling him, like I said, last night when he met me through Facebook, he sent me a friend request because you know me. If you know me personally, I'm always talking shit on Facebook. This is nothing new. And he loved my comment 6 years ago and decided to friend me. And I come from a very, very small town. Everybody knows everybody and everybody is related. But I don't add everybody from back home because a lot of people just don't understand the woman that I've grown into since I moved, and just I'm totally different from the young lady that I was back in the day and the woman that I am now. So a lot of people are kind of like, still stuck in this box with me from my 12th grade year. But for some odd reason, I added this crazy guy. We've been friends since then. We talk all hours of the night. We talk about our relationships. We talk about our family. We talk about social issues. And he does not bore me. He is my best male friend. So we did this trial run because he was like, yo, I love your podcast. And I was like, you have to be a guest on my podcast. And Anchor has it where you can actually phone in someone live on your podcast. And I never did it before, but I wanted to do it. And so I added him. We had a whole conversation. We were just supposed to, just test trial this out. And it was so dope. It was so organic. And I tried to send it to him personally through a text message. Of course, the file was too large. I tried to email it to him. Of course, the file was too large. I tried to resize it. Of course, it wouldn't resize. So I ended up putting our personal conversation on my podcast just so he could hear it. And there you have it. So if you guys like the conversation that I had with Remy, please drop a note, leave a message, tell me that you enjoyed it. Excuse everything that was not professional. Like, we didn't introduce ourselves. I didn't say it was the dang, but the dang truth, because it was just supposed to be a trial. So if you liked it, let me know. I definitely believe that we're going to do more podcasting together. Just because he's my brother, he's dope. He has never failed me with advice. And he keeps it real with me. So, yeah, that's going to happen again. I just know it. I know it's going to happen again. And like he told me the other night, through one of our conversations, he was like, I think God was just waiting for the perfect timing for us to get together and just do something great. And I can't wait. So yes. So anyway, guys, not going to keep you long. I just wanted to remind you that tomorrow's podcast is going to be super dope. I have Elder Robert Pierce coming in. The conversation is going to be amazing. I mean, amazing. I can feel it already. It's going to be amazing. Please, please, please tune in. We have great topics of discussion. I already invited him. We're going to have a great lunch. You know, you got to feed your guest, and we're going to go at it, because there's some questions that I just need answered about Christianity, Christians today. Am I living in vain? Like, is my living in vain? Yeah, I might have to bust that song out while he's here. But anyway, it's going to be an amazing conversation. Not going to dwell on this long, but you know, love is my show. You know, I always have to give you guys a recap. So let's do that. Let's recap Love Is. It aired last night. Some serious things went on the show. I love the show. Mara Brock-Akil produces it. Just a dope show. So let's go. Let's get into it. It's a dang with a dang truth. I knew they would cut off my song, right? You know, my best part. Like, you can't just cut off 90s R&B. Like, how does that work? Anyway, y'all know I love me some Brownstone. I love me some Sade. Like, just bring back R&B music, please. Anyway, but the reason why I play Brownstone, of course, is because Love Is set up in the 90s, the best years of my life. You know what? It's not that the 90s were the best years of my life, because I was really, really, really a child. Like, I was born in the 80s, but I was raised in the 90s. And I just think that great music, great sense of style, like, it was no other. And it jogs my memories back to certain times when I was in middle school and high school. And it was just dope. I graduated with the class of 2000. So, you know, my adult life started in the 2000s, you know, so 20th century. So anyway, where am I going with this? Yeah. So Love is a great show on OWN. I watch it weekly, and I like to recap because I have a ton of girlfriends, a ton of people I know that watch the show, and we have commentary about it. So it's set up with the two characters, Yasir and, why did I just forget her name? Yuri. Oh my gosh. Like I said, guys, I'm tired. Please excuse my tiredness. But anyway, and if you don't watch the show, like, I'm trying to get Remy to watch the show because I think he would think it's dope. But he's stubborn and he won't watch it. And I'm just like, watch the goddamn show. But the reason why I think that is such a good show is because it actually is really demonstrating Black love. And it's not like your Love Jones. It's not like your Best Man. It's none of that. It's really like how people were trying to make it in the 90s. A lot of people in the 90s struggled and made it big. In the 2000s, like, you know, they had it where, you know, they had to work these odd end jobs. It was just like a turning of, you know, the turning of the time. You know, things started to change with cell phones. Nobody was, well, people were using pagers, and then there were cell phones, then it was the internet. So all these things started happening in the 90s. And it was like a turn for the better, and then it was kind of a turn for the worse. And that's where these two characters are kind of trying to establish a relationship during these times where everything is kind of like changing. Like, society is changing, relationships are changing, Black people are becoming more and more successful, things are changing. And so, you have these characters where Yuri is, a very successful Black woman, and then you have, a very talented Black man that's struggling. And what was so, interesting is that for the past 2 weeks, I have been loving Yasir, who is the main character. I literally have been loving him and thinking that he's so dope. He's such a gentleman. He's so sincere. He's so caring, right? Just everything that I want in a man. And I think I posted that up on Facebook. I was like, I'm looking for a Yasir and I'm looking for a Hollywood. And if you watch Queen Sugar, you know Hollywood is a character. He's Aunt Vi's love interest in Queen Sugar. And he's just a sincere, loving man that loves his woman and wants the best for her and the best for them. And so I'm looking at these two characters and saying, wow, they really love their women that they're involved with. They're really caring. They really show emotion. They're transparent and they claim their women. Like, this is my woman. This is my girl. And so to me, that's just really endearing. I'm a hopeless romantic. And this show kind of changed it for me. And it was crazy because I was thinking about it, but I didn't want to post it up there because you know, like how you get into a relationship and you post that shit up on Facebook in a relationship now with, and Facebook like broadcast it, right? And then like 3 months later, y'all break up, right? And so just last week, I said that I needed a Yasir and I needed a Hollywood. And then this week, I'm like, I don't think I like this nigga. And it's crazy because one of my friends on Facebook was like, I can't stand his punk ass. And I was like, oh shit. I was feeling the same. Like, I'm starting to feel the same way. And I don't want to do that because I think that when it comes down to Black women with Black men, we really lack patience. And patience is a virtue. In we as Black women, we are not virtuous in that aspect. We want things now and we want it fast, like quick. And so Yuri is really working with this guy. She's giving him a place to stay. He ain't got no job. He's a freelance writer trying to write scripts. And she's giving. And I'm wondering, when is he going to do the same for her in return? The show shows different sides to him that I'm not really keen on. And I don't know if Mara Brockett-Keel really did this on purpose, or if she noticed it, or if this is really true. But what really is, what's really disturbing to me, and I don't want to do this because I feel like this is an issue in the Black community, but it's a main issue in the Black community, and I heard him say it on the show. I can't really pinpoint what they were saying, but he speaks on Yuri's skin tone, her complexion. And he was in relationships with two women before her that were brown girls. They were, you know, darker skinned females. And Yuri is his prize. Yuri is his fair skin tone, curly haired, pretty girl. And she's taking care of this Black man because, you know, she sees something in him. And what's so funny is that, you know, the woman that he was in a relationship before Yuri said, "I pretty much set you up for her. I've been down with you when you had nothing. I've been down with you when you had nothing to offer me. You came and lived with me and stayed on my couch and ate my food, sucked my air and used my phone. And I made you better for her. And now you're with her and you want to change your life. You want to be this better man. But all this time, I gave and gave and gave to you. And now you're giving your all to her. You're stopping. You're trying to stop smoking. You got a job." And she was like, "And then you come here on Valentine's Day of all days. You come on Valentine's Day. You're giving me mixed signals." And I was like, yo, at that moment, I felt her. I felt what his ex was saying. And I was like, this shit ain't right. This shit is not right. And so, ladies, this is what I'm wondering. I'm wondering, should we give men the benefit of the doubt? Should we hang with these men that really don't have anything to offer us? Should we be with these men or be in relationship with these men who don't have a job, don't have a place to stay, don't have a car, you know, have children already? Should we give them the benefit of the doubt? Should we support them until they possibly make it big? Or should we find somebody that suits us better? I cannot wait to see next week's episode, because I think there's going to be a changing point in their relationship. Because another thing that, you know, struck me as kind of odd is his temperament. When he was with Yuri and he told her how to dress for work, and he was like, "Wear your nightgown to work, put something under it." He was like, and that she was like, "But my nipples are showing." He was like, "Yeah, and so what? Let all those men at your job know that you're mine." And I was like, okay. So now he has ownership of her. And it was like his demeanor, his personality was just so overbearing, so controlling, so demanding. So how is it that now you're telling a grown-ass woman how to dress? And I was like, wow, this is strange. But some women need that. Some women need that type of man. I don't think I'm that woman. I don't think I could have a man that's really, you know, so demanding and controlling. Like, I understand that I want a man that's going to lead, and a man who's strong, and a family man. I want that. But I don't think that I want a man telling me what I am to do. When he went home to visit his mother, and he was so upset with his baby's mother for not sending his son to piano lessons. And when he yelled at Yuri and said, "Just give me the keys." And I was like, "Whoa, motherfucker, wait up. You can't even afford to get a fucking rental car. And you're going to yell at this young lady to give you the keys so you can go to another bitch's house and raise hell? No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Not today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Motherfucker, you're going to sit your ass down and you're going to calm down until you come to your senses." But the highlight of the motherfucking show, excuse my language, but you know I love good written television. Loretta Devine is crazy as a bed bug with that squeaky ass voice. But when that bitch goes in and she is going in, she goes in from a place of mother. Like, I can feel it. She did that shit and Waiting to Exhale. She's that type of actress. Let me tell you something. Loretta Devine, and if you don't watch nothing else on this show, watch this episode, especially if you're a black mother, because I'm so sick and tired of black mothers, just patronizing and pacifying and titty feeding their grown ass black men. This woman stood up and said to her son, you left your son with a woman that you had a baby with to pursue your dreams. She didn't have that choice. She's a damn good mother. She's the first to wake up in the morning and she's the last to lay it down. And you come from wherever you are pursuing your dreams and parade up in her house and tell her what she's going to do with your child. Motherfucker, please. Nigga, ghosts have several fucking seats. This is the issue that I have with Yasir. But I'm so excited, so ecstatic that his mother stood up and told his ass and really read him the fuck down. What you're not going to do is come up in here and act like this woman is a bad parent. Because you're an absentee father. No, that's not what you're going to do. And then she turned around and went to the baby mother and said, "And you need to get over it. I know that you're angry. I know that you might love him. But honey, he has moved on. And love don't live here no more. Bitch, stop being angry at him. Go on about your business. Find you another motherfucker. Be happy. Do you. And raise my grandchild." She read both of them. She said, "Y'all both need to grow up. And y'all both need to get out my house with all this rah-rah." That was the best scene. That was drama for your ass. And it made Yuri see that, bitch, what you going into is going to be a little bit drama filled. Are you ready for this or are you not? For the longest, I said, you know what? I don't want men who have kids. I dated two men that had kids, that had children. I got attached to their children. One man used his two sons to pretty much play the field. And I thought that that was so disrespectful, so disgusting. After that relationship, I was like, I'm done. Because you're telling me that you have to go and keep your kids, so on and so forth. But in all actuality, you're out here fucking around. That, to me, was so disrespectful and so vile that I was just like, I can't do it. And right now is the turning point for Yuri to see if she can actually do it in this relationship. She saw a totally different side to Yasir. And I'm trying to figure out whether she's going to stick around or not. Because when the little boy asked her, "Are you my daddy's girlfriend?" She said, "I'm your daddy's friend." But when he introduced her to his mother, he said, "This is my girlfriend." And that is the turning point. ladies, you are the determining factor of whether you are going to settle and stick with it or if you're going to leave. But you are the determining factor. You get to decide. And always remember that you have the winning cards. You have the winning deck. Are you going to play these cards right? Or are you going to lose the game? Are you going to fold? That is the question. Now, I know I told you guys that I was not going to be on here long. This is going to be a very short podcast, even though it is going on 17 minutes of me rattling on about Love Is. Make sure you check it out. It comes on every Tuesday night on OWN at 10 p.m. Make sure you check the show out. Leave me a message. Let me know if you like the podcast, if you like the show. Let me know if there's certain things that you want me to talk about, guys. Sometimes I just pull topics out my ass. And you can tell. Because, you know, I just ramble on and ramble on. But, you know, I like to talk. So, it doesn't bother me. Hear my voice, honey. Hear my voice. You can always check me out on IG, Instagram, at Hermosa Cosmetics. That's Hermosa Cosmetics. Or you can find me on Facebook. That's where everybody else finds me, on Facebook, under Edith Yolanda. I spell my name a little different. It's E-D-Y-T-H-E. You know, my mama had to be a little jazzy. She didn't want the old lady Edith. She wanted a new, hip, live Edith. So she changed my name up a little bit. So guys, add me. I follow back. I'm not that girl. I like to follow my people who follow me and support me. Don't forget to drop me a message. DM me anytime. I get back to you. You know, I'm not that bougie bitch. I'm down for the cause. And let me know if you want to be a guest on my podcast. You know, I love to, you know, talk the shit, kick it. Have a little something to drink. And when you come and you join me on the show, I always cook. And everybody always loves my food. As my guys, they came here last week. I made the best chicken parm. And they loved it. I pounded my fucking chicken. I pounded the chicken. You're not going to get that nowhere else but here with the Dame. Guys, it's been lovely. Make sure that you check me out later on today with Elder Piers Thursday. He is going to talk that. Shh. Don't curse Yolanda. I'm going to try not to curse with the Elder here. Even though he told me to be real. I'm going to hold my mule. All right, guys. It's been good. Love you. Ta-ta. Hey, guys. What's going on? It's your girl, Edith Yolanda. And today is the day I've been waiting for. I've been late. Like telling people to just gear up for Thursday. We're gonna have a good conversation on Thursday. So without further ado, I have Robert Pierce with me. Robert Pierce is so dope. He's an elder of a church. He's an elder of my church, and it's just wonderful that he could just join me today because I have so many questions for you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Listen, when I asked you to be a part of the podcast, you did it. You said sure without hesitation. Can I tell everybody how we met?
Please do. Yeah.
Okay. So this is crazy because we met through what was a mutual friend of both of ours. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
So
not at church.
We were at Cat's Cafe. Mm-hmm. She was having like a poetry read or it was like a networking event.
Right, meet the author or something.
Meet the author
something, and
it was just a whole lot of everything.
Yeah, a lot going on.
A lot was going on, and she didn't tell me that number one that a lot of people from church were going to be there.
Yeah,
she definitely did not tell me that Elder Pierce was going to be there.
You know, I don't think anyone knew I was going to be there.
Really?
I popped on the scene.
You just hopped up.
Yeah. You know, I keep my head to the streets.
Right. So,
I saw it. I was like, well, let me go check this out. And bam, I was there.
And you were there. Yeah. And it was, and at that moment in time, like, we had no interaction. I was just kind of like, you know, sitting in church, you know, towards the back, mm-hmm. trying to get out first.
Right.
you know, not really having conversation with anybody in church. And I had been going to church there for like 4 years.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah, I had been a member for like 4 years. And that was our first time meeting. Mm-hmm. So when she told me to introduce my product line, my business, I was like, okay, how's this going to work?
Yeah.
So I was like, hi. So amen, everybody. The name of my business is Bitch Focus.
I remember that. Because I asked you to say it again.
And everybody was like...
What did you just
say?
Remember,
yes.
I said, say that again.
Yes. And then everybody was like, okay, she did say that.
Yeah.
And so, but you took that as an opportunity to actually get to know more about the company, mm-hmm. and about the business and about my being. And I was so grateful to you for that because you did not judge me.
No.
You did not say anything negative, but at least I never knew you to say anything negative about my business or about me. And it made me that much more inclined to be a part of church,
mm-hmm.
and just really hang around you guys and just really like get to know you on a deeper level, because I thought that your approach to things were so dope.
Thank you.
You know?
Yeah.
So with that, you know, with that being said, I really want to just introduce my friends, my followers who follow me. Not all of my friends are Christian. A lot of them have, you know, been, you know, with, I just feel like the climate today has really changed from where it was back in the day.
Yeah. Can I say this to you?
What's this?
I listened to one of your shows.
Uh-huh.
Who is, Sarai?
Sarai.
I like Sarai.
You like Sarai?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I like Sarai.
Okay. And you know what? I'm actually going to introduce you to her because... you know, she's my girl, and we all go through some things at times. And so I definitely would love for you to meet her.
I remember her sharing one of her petty moments.
Okay.
And it was so gangster. Her petty moment, you know, it was gangster.
It was
and I
gangster.
Was like, I like
I'm
her.
I'm definitely going to call her.
I like her.
And just be like, listen up.
Yeah. Now, her move... I don't agree with it.
Right.
But I understand.
You understand. It was a gangster move, though.
It was a gangster move.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So we're going to take Sarai, and I'm going to introduce you to her. And I think everybody is just really going to probably think about visiting New Mercy's and checking us out.
Yeah.
So we're going to go on a break for a quick hot second, and we'll be right back. This is The Dame with The Dame Truth with Robert Pierce. All right. All right, guys. So I'm back with Elder Pierce, and
yes, we're back.
Yes.
Let's go. Let's get into it. Let's go. No more playing.
No more playing.
Yeah.
We're
did
definitely
all the
gonna
formalities.
Get into-
Let's go.
So, and I know you've been ready for this,
yeah.
Like seriously. And I've been warning people. I've been like, listen, you guys are gonna really, really enjoy this show. So I really want to go into it.
Mm-hmm.
And one was my mom was reading something the other day, and she was talking about autonomy, and I was like, wait a minute, that's a topic.
It is.
That's a topic for a discussion because I feel like a lot of people are just kind of like, you know, I don't really need the church. You know, why do I need the church? I don't need anybody to tell me how to live. I just want to live freely. I want to do me. And I think that might be an issue. What do you think?
I'm going to say this. If that's how you feel, do it. And let's see how it works for you. Go for it.
I think that...
Go for it.
There's always going to be laws of the land.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to accept that, but there are always going to be laws of the land.
Right. It's just human nature. If you put 5 people in a room, you're going to set up a government. There's going to be a hierarchy, whether it's spoken or unspoken.
Right.
Someone's going to be the alpha. Someone's going to be the sub.
Okay.
Someone's going to, you know, fall back. Someone's going to play the fence. There's always, in any society where there's more than one person... There's rules.
Absolutely.
You set rules.
Absolutely.
In any genre of anything, there's rules. So.
So why is there an issue with people? And I get it. You know, I get that people were raised differently, and I get that there are people of different religious faiths and backgrounds. But it seems to me that Black people, we were brought up in the church.
Absolutely.
You know, we were brought up on Jesus. Let me tell you something. When I came to Atlanta, my mom was just, she did not want me to move. We are from a very small rural town.
Okay.
And the first thing I did when I moved to Atlanta was started dating a guy who said that he was agnostic.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I didn't know what the hell that was. I was like, agnostic, what is that? Is that part of Baptist?
Right, right.
Is that, what are you, holiness?
And he was
and he was like, no. And so he started telling me, you know, about what he believed in, what he did not believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was like, no, I don't even think y'all are not equally yoked and da-da-da-da-da. But this was a good guy. He was a good man, and mm-hmm. he's a good husband and father now. And guess what? I'm single. Not married.
Absolutely.
And he took those steps to make somebody his wife and things like that. So
yeah.
I just feel like the measure of the man
mm-hmm.
outweighed the religion of the man. But I also believe that for me, being a Christian, I wouldn't be able to
right.
have a family with him.
Okay.
You know,
why?
I don't.
Why not?
Because I think that a lot of people who do that, like, the structure is off. The mother goes to church, the daddy stays at home.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah. it seems like it's just an off situation all the time. Like, gotcha. They're not, I feel like at church, like, the family is to get together and pray together. And
mm-hmm.
you know, that Absolutely. Old saying, a family that prays together stays
Absolutely.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
So, how you gonna do that when the daddy at home drinking beer?
Right.
Watching football all day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just don't understand why there's such a disconnect right now between the black church and black people. Like, there are a lot of people who are really
I can
just
tell you why.
Against the church.
Yes, absolutely. And you're hearing this from an elder, rightfully so.
Speak the truth.
Rightfully so. Unfortunately, in the recent, let's say, last 20, 25 years, the church took a unfortunate shift. And what I mean by that is we went, and I say we, because I was part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
The money got good.
Wow.
Let's
be real.
Especially here in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
The birth of the mega church.
Absolutely.
The money started looking a little differently. And
wow.
So many of our pastors, our leaders, not all of them, not the majority, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Went the wrong way, but unfortunately those were the most charismatic, and so it became economics.
Absolutely.
And when economics
and people
get
started realizing that,
and now people are seeing, man, y'all was playing us.
Y'all were playing us,
right?
Because you know, right now LeBron,
mm-hmm.
new school,
yeah,
in his hood,
in the hood, his own money.
Educating these kids, giving them bikes and helmets,
mm-hmm.
College tuition, and not only the kids, but helping educate the parents.
Absolutely, and job, yeah, job.
And so now I'm sitting back and I'm wondering what's happening to all those building funds,
that
all
the
those
builders
ties.
Never came up.
Yeah, right. It's like I feel like with church, every church should have a school. I think so. The reason
okay.
why I say that is because, if you look at it, they're saying, so many people have been saying for years, school is not the same. School is
mm-hmm.
not the same. They took prayer out of school. Nobody can pledge allegiance to the flag anymore. And I was like, if y'all have that issue, then why didn't y'all help build a school?
Yeah.
At least a pre-K,
mm-hmm.
you know, through maybe third grade, just so that the kids could get some type of structure.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
You know?
I would take a different approach.
How would you take it?
Not have the church take it on, because it's a major budget drainer, schools.
Okay.
But a church can adopt a school.
Okay. Well, how would that work, though?
Adopt? Oh, we do it all the time. We've adopted several schools.
Okay.
In the Gwinnett era, where we took care of everything.
I know that y'all just had that book bag drive.
Right, yeah. We just did 500. But Meadow Creek High School, years ago, we restarted their youth football program.
Okay.
We financed their whole athletic program. You know,
okay.
we mentored, tutored, everything.
Gotcha.
We adopted that school.
Okay.
And so we was a supplement, but it didn't drain our church budget.
Got you. Got you.
As much.
I was just thinking, you know, like with the government, because, you know, churches are tax-free. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
So I didn't know if that would, you know, because I do know of some churches. I think City of Hope had a church. Mm-hmm. Had a school at their church. Yeah. A private school and things mm-hmm. of that magnitude. So, I mean, that's just one of the things that I know that a lot of people have been talking about, and I saw it on Facebook. You know, LeBron James actually, you know, gave all his money. Well, not all, because brother has a lot.
And what he did was he worked with the Akron school system.
That's what's up.
You know what I mean? So it ain't his school. He didn't build it from the ground up.
Got you.
He partnered with the school system.
Got you.
But he's financing. So he adopted a school.
He adopted a school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, I think that with these mega churches, they're kind of losing the community. I think that our communities are so bad. All these killings in Chicago and things like that. And I just don't understand why a church can't cease these fires. Why, you know, in summertime, kids are out of school. I don't understand why kids don't have anything to do in the summer. Mm-hmm. I know that summer camps are expensive as heck.
Yes.
I know it is, but it's just like we need to do something to save our community, because our community is really perishing on a physical and a mental type of thing. Mm-hmm. Because all the white people want to get into our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And build Starbucks and stuff in there. Have you been to Brooklyn? I know you're a native New Yorker.
Let me say this to you. You mentioned Chicago.
Yeah.
And I lived in Chicago for several years.
Okay.
And on the south suburbs, so I worked a lot in the south side of Chicago.
Okay.
Horrible.
Really?
And what I mean by churches in the south side of Chicago, many of them were more concerned not about the community, but about just raking money from the community.
Wow.
So I know of pastors up there who, in the middle of the worst areas of Chicago, driving Bentleys and driving Rolls Royces, parking it in the hood where the women in the choir don't have teeth.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
You know, a grandma to eat. Kids can't eat.
That's horrible.
But the preacher got a Rolls Royce, a Bentley. You know, these custom-made suits, got a police officer outside guarding his car, but will never do anything in that community. So, blew it.
So, is it our fault that we're sponsoring this? Or is it, you know, because, I mean, these pastors have to get money from us.
Can we really talk now?
Can we really talk now? Let's really get the tea. Because I think that we are sponsoring this.
There's a word that's going around. Pimps in the pulpit. Absolutely right.
Dang.
There's a coalition between the traditional pimp and the preacher.
Hold that. No. Hold that. We're actually going to go into another topic.
Okay.
But I feel it. And we're about to go there. Let's talk about this. Our next topic.
Okay, pull back.
Right. No. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
Donald Trump.
I got something.
Our pastors went to go meet with them. Hold that thought. Elder mm-hmm. Pierce. Robert Pierce.
Let's go.
We'll be right back with the dang truth. I told you guys. I absolutely told you already. I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be dope. This conversation is going to get really, really good, and I was just waiting for it, and now we can get into it.
Let's go.
These pastors going to see Donald Trump.
Yes.
Paula White assembled the meeting, mm-hmm. which I already had issues with Paula White, because let me tell you something, and you might disagree with me on this. Because I know church is a business. But Paula White, T.D. Jakes, all these pastors that really have these humongous mega churches. Joel mm-hmm. Osteen.
Yeah.
I don't think that you guys should be charging people to go to your conferences the way that y'all do. And I know church is a business. I know it's a business.
Okay.
I know that the pastor got to get paid because he got to eat. I know the band members got to get paid because they got, you know, mm-hmm. they play. But these mega ministers are making millions and millions of dollars off of their books, off of their conferences, off of their church campground meetings. I don't know. It's just, to me, I know it's a business. We got to keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. But they are charging up the wazoo.
Yes, they are.
I mean, seriously. And I'm like, wow, when I just want to get the word, I got to pay $300 for it. Okay. Yes. You know, yeah. Sometimes you want to be able to participate and do certain things with the church, the mm-hmm. women's, the men's, you know, affairs, the women's,
right.
You know, a glow, whatever. They have millions of them. But Paula White is one of those pastors that just rub me the wrong way. Okay. Like, every time I see her, I just think of Buckhead Betty. I think of, like, you know, just a snooty white woman that just got a bad attitude. Okay. And that's sad to say that I get that aura from her.
Right.
Because she's supposed to be a woman of the cloth.
Yeah.
But she assembles this meeting with the pastors and Donald Trump. Daryl Scott?
Daryl Scott from Cleveland.
Okay.
Yes. Know of him very well. Been he in the same room many times.
He is the biggest coon to me.
Absolutely.
And I don't want you to say anything.
You heard me start with that laugh.
Let me do the dirty work. Let me do the dirty work.
But you heard me. I was going there with you.
The biggest
It's
coon
unfortunate.
Ever.
Unfortunate.
I am very disappointed in John Gray. He has a mega church in South Carolina. A lot of people follow him. His response on Don Lemon's show was weak.
It's
really weak. And I just wanted to know, at any moment, were those preachers going to stand up and tell Donald Trump that he was just full of crap?
No.
Madooky.
No, none of them.
So they got the weakest ones of them all. You know.
No, they didn't get the weakest ones.
Okay.
They just picked the ones that wanted, that's on his side. And when I say on his side, silence is
consent.
And so many of them went. One pastor went, and I'm not going to say his name, but mm-hmm. he's in Atlanta.
Oh, I got the list.
Yeah, he's in Atlanta. So.
Should I read out the list? Was it Dale Barber?
He's in Atlanta.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and he made an unfortunate statement that broke my heart. And his statement was this: I come there as a businessman first.
Wow.
And what I appreciate about Judas, who's speaking to the president,
wow,
was that you've helped businesses. Now, he ain't come as a prophet of God that he's supposed to be going at.
Right.
As a man of God, as a pastor speaking for his people, he went and first thing out of his mouth was
business.
I'm here for my own interest.
Money.
Yeah. You're making a lot for me. Because for those that don't know, he's part of the Brunner Brothers family. They just had the major hair show downtown, mega church on the west side.
Absolutely. It's
unfortunate,
but this is why, and it seems like the people who go to these churches for business moves. It's really not about soul searching, finding Christ. I know a lot of people who go to Bonner's Church, and they go to Bonner's Church because they want to meet people. They want those connections.
And let me say this about him. Does a great work over there. Let me not paint him as a bad guy. Does a great work. Has an awesome community center. Is pouring back over to that west side. Really revitalized that.
Where?
You haven't been over there lately? The Epicenter?
I just been on the west side.
That Epicenter over there by Six Flags, he's revitalizing it.
By Six Flags.
By Six Flags.
Okay.
Doing awesome work over there. Wonderful facility that is community. Let me say that. Mm-hmm. However, he's a businessman.
He's a businessman.
And obviously, he's that first, unfortunately.
Well, to me, it just seemed like, you know, it was a room filled with pastors. I thought it was going to be, and to be honest, they said it was about prison reform. Now, if you're talking about prophetizing the prison industry.
It's already prophetized.
Okay. And making sending more black men to jail. Okay. What? Is that the business that you're talking about?
Let's see.
Do you promote that? Because, you know, it's sad that they get the statistics of how many black men and black kids are in school so that they can go ahead and make prisons. But that's what they do. And I thought that it was really, really discouraging, you know, seeing all these black men and this white woman. It was a black woman in there as well. Yeah. I can't remember her name. Alveda King. I just thought at what point were they going to actually discuss what they were supposed to discuss, and none of that happened. I will tell you who shut it all down.
Who's that?
Oh, what's my brother's name in DC? He was dating Sweet. Oh my goodness.
Oh, Jamal Bryant. Yeah.
You know, everybody talks about Jamal being a pimp. Not being a pimp with the money, but being a pimp, you know.
Well,
but
we all have our struggles.
Listen, but he spoke the truth, and I'm so glad that he did, because he laid it out. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you haven't seen his live, please go to his Facebook page and watch his Facebook live.
You know what's the sad part about all this?
What's that?
Is that our young folk don't even care.
They don't.
That these preachers went.
Because they
don't. That's how far out of touch the black church is with the younger generation.
And that's sad.
That's so sad. They didn't even care. I've asked young folk, what do y'all think about it?
They don't even know these people.
What are you talking about? Right. Who cares? We stopped messing with the black church years ago. And so that's the unfortunate part, is that the players, the athletes, will boycott the White House. So many others and other journals would boycott the White House because of the policies of being divisive and, you know, all that's going on with Donald Trump. But the preachers say, yeah.
That's crazy.
We'll sit with you.
That's crazy.
When the athletes won't go, none of the youth won't go, none of the musicians will go.
You know, it reminds me of something that happened in South Carolina. We were actually trying to take down the Confederate flag. And there was this barbecue company called Maurice's Barbecue that was a known Confederate supporter of the Confederacy and the KKK. And they made themselves known. And you know what the black preachers did in South Carolina? They wanted to have a peace rally, so they went there and ate some barbecue with these white folks.
And that's what we just did.
The same thing. You sat down and you ate. And what Jamal Bryant said, you know, God said he prepares a table in front of thine enemy. He said you couldn't even get no bread.
Couldn't get no bread.
They didn't even give you no bread. Literally or figuratively.
Right.
They didn't even help you with nothing.
Nothing.
You just went there for a photo op, and it's sad because, like you said, the young people are more concerned. You know, when I was growing up and going to church, because I was made to go to church, you know, we as a young, you know, young child going into a young adult, we knew how to act. The girls knew how to carry themselves. Yeah. The guys knew how to treat the young ladies, and these were some of the foundations that I got being in church.
Right.
But when you have young kids that where it's just literally going in one ear and out the other.
Yeah. Think about it.
It's a different lifestyle.
In the 60s, during the civil rights movement, the preacher was out in the forefront.
All the time.
So when everybody went to jail, the preacher went to jail too.
Absolutely.
For the protest. When Martin Luther King was in jail with his whole crew, everybody went to jail. Now Black Lives Matter come along, ain't no preachers going to jail.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
But we send our young kids out there to march and all that, but they ain't preaching around.
Well, what I do appreciate that, you know, Pastor Kearney brought to our church is that, you know, when it comes down to this election, because, oh, by the way, it was so dope seeing Stacey Abrams at church.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a dope move on her behalf. I don't want to say who I'm voting for, but I will say I'm not voting for the other person. But, you know, I thought that when he said, you know, we're going to have this forum in church where you know about your legislative branches.
Right.
You know what these elections mean to you, because literally the local elections are more important than...
Absolutely.
You know, and so, the international... So my whole thing is that we got to get in order to get, I think, respect back into the church, we got to move to the forefront. We got to suit up. We got to be soldiers.
We say it's a war, but we're in church yabba dabba doing.
Come on now.
And screaming and hollering, and then our kids, our youth, out there marching, dying, fighting, dying. They're at war, and we ain't showing up to the battle.
I mean, it's so
But
many...
then we're wondering why they don't want to come mess with us.
Because you know, we're not, and the thing about it is that, you know, I think that the young kids get so much of a, they get aroused by the gangsters, but we're pussyfooting.
Right.
So we so scary, they be like, we ain't scary.
Right.
These kids today, back in the day, white people used to intimidate, antagonize.
Yeah.
You know, used to call my mother's parents girl and boy, mm-hmm. gal.
Right.
And these black kids today are like, I will bust your head.
Right, yeah.
You know, they not having that. So when you have this pussyfooting type of church where we're not standing up for the, you know, the police brutality, black men getting, you know, murdered right. in the streets by police and stuff like that, they don't want to be with us anymore. And I get it. And we got to suit up, which leads me.
And let me say, this is, and I'm not just talking, this is what we do. Remember when the young man in Gwinnett on Sugarloaf, the cops
punched? I was in Boston.
We made calls to the chief. All right, now.
Wow.
What you gonna do?
Wow.
Because he sat in our church one day and told us, well, if this ever happens in Gwinnett, I'm gonna deal with it harshly. And so
really?
When it happened, you said.
Wow.
And they got fired.
Wow, and they didn't even put that up on the news.
Yeah, they fired, and now they're up for charges. So.
Wow,
one phone call.
I was wondering what happened to that.
Because
I was in Boston. That made news in Boston when that mm-hmm. boy got beat down.
Yeah,
for it looked like a routine traffic stop.
Traffic routine stop. They started railing on him.
I mean, it starts with the local government.
Right.
I'm keeping it real here because when I got, you know, I got arrested for. Not even realizing that my license was suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And I got arrested. I had paid a ticket, but I paid it late. I paid it like 2 weeks late. They had a warrant out for my arrest, and I didn't know this.
Gotcha.
I'm driving around 2 years with a warrant.
Wow.
And I had no idea. Yeah. I got pulled over because my taillight was out.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran my record and stuff like that. But the process that they put me through, I went to jail. I had to spend so much money.
Right.
I had to be on probation because I couldn't pay all the money up
at
front.
Did you have to pay for probation?
You have to pay for probation.
Yeah.
Pay your fine.
Right.
It was crazy. And I'm just like, how is it that this county is getting all this money from poor and disenfranchised people?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanna speak on one more thing.
Okay.
And that is football.
Okay, so we're not touching the pips in the pulpit?
Hold on.
Okay,
we're going to get back to that.
I'm locked and loaded. Okay.
No. We're going to get back to that.
Okay, football easy.
Because we're talking about really, you know, police brutality and all this.
Right.
Are you supporting the NFL?
Absolutely not. I'm a diehard Giants fan, but I'm done.
So,
I'm done.
Super Bowl's going to be in the A. We can't go out there and tailgate.
I may go out of town.
Dang, it's real.
I may go out of town, and because they've proven that they don't care about our African American young men and women.
So let me ask you this. So NFL is, you know, I think it was the Cowboys owner.
Mm-hmm.
They can't stay in the gym.
Right.
I mean, in the locker room.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And they can't kneel, so they can't their own. Okay.
I'm good. I'm good with them. They could miss me with the whole season.
Wow.
I think it's disrespectful as a black man of influence to support something when we got NFL players sitting in our congregation.
Right. That part.
Yeah. And so, and that's why I thought it was disrespectful for any pastor to sit at that White House.
Yeah.
When you got black congregants in your congregation, Mexicans, you got all these folks. And you sitting there, what do you tell your people? So what do we tell our players that plays for the Falcons, plays for all these teams, Denver Broncos, that members of our churches, that we're supporting the very people who's oppressing you.
Wow. Wow. And you know what really, really disappoints me and really saddens me? It's that black people are talking about football and ready to go to football season already. Yeah. But for those of you guys who have children that this really affects, I cannot understand for the life of me why you are making these people richer. When I was in Boston, the main reason why I did not like Tom Brady or his owner was because they were Trump supporters. Yet, I see nothing but a sea of Patriots fans that are black.
Absolutely. And can I go
Robert deeper? Kraft and all of them, they don't care about us.
Can I go deeper?
Please do.
Okay, so we got the Kaepernick injustice with the kneeling, and now you can't kneel, you're going to get fined and all that. Can I go deeper?
Please.
The NFL don't even care about their own players. The CTE concussions.
Yes.
You know, so they telling me they care. They don't care about our community. They don't care about the players that's from our community. That they, once they retire, they vegetables. They don't get no money. I know they had this big lawsuit that people think they won, but they have pay out very little people on that, where most people don't know. Very little players get the money, no matter what condition they're in.
That's crazy.
That's a fact.
So you put your body through all this for years.
Right.
Yeah. And make these people billionaires.
Right.
And they giving you low payouts.
They giving me low payout. Or no payout.
Or no payout.
Hear me. No payout.
Because you know, the guy that played for the Patriots, the one that was found in his cell.
Yeah.
You know.
Hernandez.
Now they're trying to say that he, you know, had some brain injuries. Yeah. That's why he was going off on people. Yeah. And it's crazy.
But NFL, that had nothing to do with football. Okay. We ain't paying you nothing. I don't got nothing to do with football. This is fact.
That's crazy.
I can go down the list of players that if I said their names, they would know, that have been denied claims.
That's crazy.
Because the NFL's saying, that.
But you know what?
We good. We ain't going to pay you. I know you got that money sitting there, but we ain't giving that to you.
But you know what? I bring it back to my people because we are the number one consumers. We'll be out there.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
We'll be out there giving them their money.
And now, don't give me
And that's your choice. Yeah. That's your choice. But right. I just really want us to wake up and, you know, get the bigger picture of it all because, you know, I was just telling my mom about, you know, I put on Facebook the bad experience I had with my nails and all that. And I said, when are we going to stop going to these people that disrespect us? Stop giving them our money. They disrespect us on a regular basis. Because we're going to come back. We can't stay together long enough.
They look at us as all one nigga.
That's true.
You just one nigga.
One ignorant.
Right, the whole group, all of y'all just one nigga.
With a hard E-R, nigga.
Right, with a hard, not in the fiction. You one nigga.
Which means ignorance.
Which means ignorance. We can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you're gonna still come back. Because you ain't gonna support your own. You don't know how to do that.
You're not gonna sacrifice long enough. Let me tell you something. Yeah. When I found out about Papa John's, I have yet to eat a Papa John's pizza in about 6 years.
I don't do Waffle House no more.
Let me tell you, I did go to the Waffle House. I didn't go to the Waffle House, but let me tell you why I went to the Waffle House. No, I can't tell you why I went to the Waffle House. But it was the only thing that was open where I was, and I had to get something to eat because I was starving. You know, my blood sugar go low.
Right. Let me tell you, you know how the Waffle House keep open and keep making their money?
How's that?
Because everybody high and drunk.
Wait,
two in the morning, the weed kicking in, you know, or you coming from the... Let's keep it 100. I ain't always been in the church.
Listen, it happens. It happens.
I rarely go to the Waffle House. Back when I was out smoking weed all that, I rarely went in the daytime.
Well, because it's dirty. It's actually filthy.
It's dirty, it's filthy, it's stinking in, it's sticky. But after you hit that blunt.
You got to eat something.
It's something that transforms. It transforms.
I mean, and they know this, and they know that when you high and you see that big, bright yellow sign, it makes you feel like you all psyched out and you go in there and you eat. You don't even worry about all the food and pancake batter that's on the floor.
Right, and they make it affordable. It's cheap.
But no, I get it, though. Yeah. We have to definitely do something better. So
absolutely.
We're
Am I doing all right?
You're doing a great job. Okay. And I know you're going to really, really, you're going to give it to them with this.
Yes. Let's go.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Are there freaks in the church?
Yeah.
Are there pimps? Been. Are there pimps in the pulpit?
Yes, there are pimps in the pulpit. Can I give my...
Hold it. Okay. Hold it. We're going to take a break on this one because we got to get it together for this one. You sip on your tea, and I'm going to come back with the dang truth.
Okay.
All right. I hope that you got a breather. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go. This is where I came from.
Because, you know, I honestly feel like this is the biggest issue that we have in the church.
I hear it all the time.
So, let me ask. Can Christians have a sexually free lifestyle?
Yes.
Now, you say yes.
I do say yes.
But I think a lot of the parishioners would think no.
Right.
So, why would they think that no, you can't have a sexually fluid lifestyle and be in the church?
Because that's what traditionally we taught in the African American church. A very conservative, locked up doctrine. A lot of it is not biblical. From the beginning, I can talk about the black church, especially for women, that you have to be this real conservative, chaste. No, you can't.
Wait, long skirts?
Long skirts.
Listen, I came everything from a place covered. Where you couldn't wear no pants.
Right, yeah, no pants, real no conservative. No makeup. Now, let me say this. Because there are rules, there are regulations from the Bible.
I get it.
And so, like I said earlier, that no matter what you do, there's always going to be some governing body for boundaries.
Right, right.
Because any human without boundaries is a scary person. You don't want to be around. However, the traditional church pigeonholed and handcuffed and castrated a lot of men and... neutered, whatever you call it, hysterectomy gave the women a lot of spiritual hysterectomy.
No! So, okay, because I'll never forget, I think it was Steve Harvey, when he was doing the thing with T.D. Jakes, and he was like, women in the church, y'all buy those Victoria's Secrets, and everybody was like, why is he saying that? But, you know, I feel that a lot of people honestly just think that Christians are dead.
They only
have sex to procreate.
Right.
And their sex is boring, and I'm so glad that you can honestly be honest and say that you are a human being. I also think that a lot of people put ministers, preachers, elders on on this type of pedestal that is like they're not human. They're not men. They're not women. And I'm sorry, but you know, I know that y'all are human beings.
Absolutely. And when I got married, I didn't want to have church in the bedroom.
Right.
And so I wouldn't marry a woman who is gonna have gospel music on.
Not gospel music.
You know what I'm
saying? Don't even say that. Not gospel music.
You know, and just real, real conservative. I'm a man. I love women.
Absolutely.
I like the touch of a woman. You know, I like the whole thing. And let's go.
Right.
Let's explore.
Absolutely.
Now, there's boundaries. That doesn't mean for my marriage, I don't believe that I'm going to invite another woman, and she definitely invite another man into it.
I think that's just black men, period.
You know, of course, there's some places I ain't going. It's just too freaky for me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but...
I mean, everybody has their meter.
Absolutely.
So are you saying that that when it comes to being sexually fluid, it's just for the married people, right?
Yes, as a Christian man, I believe. Absolutely.
Just for marriage.
Right.
So, and I think that a lot of men today, I think women... don't mind that because I feel that when you take sex out of a relationship, you really get to know who that person is.
Yeah.
You get to see them. You get to see them struggle with their feelings and all these different things. And I think that right now, I feel that we are just an overly, overtly sexual type of nation right now. And everybody is just screwing.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody getting married, especially in our community.
Right. The problem is, and this is... I believe anytime you build a lifestyle around your sexual proclivity,
Come on with the SAT words.
you're gonna get yourself in trouble. What I mean, know what I mean. So okay, swingers. I'm not judging nobody.
I know a couple Christian swingers.
Please hear me, swingers. So I know several who build their whole lifestyle around their sexual. You know, that's what they like. Unfortunately, your mind gets even more deviant.
Absolutely.
And then you find other areas of your life starting to spiral out of control.
So there has to be a balance.
There has to be a balance. Anytime, any lifestyle is surrounded around your sexuality.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where
for
a lot.
Real?
Yeah, to be honest, it starts to control you.
It starts to control you.
It absolutely does, and that's why I have a lot of gay friends. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I have gay family members and all that. But when you start, when you just become the LGBTQ community and your whole life just is evolved around that, you become out of touch with reality.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Right.
Now, I know that there is a gay community.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get it. But I feel like right now, I got to be so guarded with what I say to my gay friends now because there's something going on that is not balanced.
Right. You don't agree with them, you hate gays. You're,
Gay
bash. You're like, whoa, what
is it's like, just the shit that you're doing is foul.
Right, you just foul.
You know, I fell out with one of my gay friends when he told me that, he went and got intimate with his partner his partner was married to a woman. I said, so he took you back to their house?
Yeah.
In their bed? I was like, well, I'm going to just tell you right now, I can't F with you like that.
Yeah,
I'm a straight woman.
Right.
Like, who are you talking to right now?
Yeah,
and you think that this is okay?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you mean to tell me that you, in a down low situation with a man that is married, and then he brought you, I said, first of all, he disrespected you.
Yeah.
If you really want to go there, he disrespected you, and I know you don't think of it that way, but he thought about you in that way.
He doesn't
really think much of you to want to be in a relationship with you and to even be known as a gay man.
Right.
So how's that being respectful?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Ooh. So like things like that that people get off on, I just think that it's just, we all have our meters.
Yeah.
But I just, I feel that, and I just had this conversation with my homeboy. I was like, listen, my grandfather was a pastor. They had 11 kids. Let's just keep it real. Like, I get it. So for me, I just think that like right now when I started off the show, it was No Church in the Wild. I think that right now, our world is just kind of like all over the place.
Yeah, and unfortunately, our community is everything is around sex.
Yeah.
Music.
Music is the number one benefactor.
Television, everything, and when you're surrounded around sex, you get junk.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a fact. We can go down history.
I think that right now, like, and I have this issue because I am 30 something, and I am a single black woman in Atlanta, and everybody keeps on saying that there's so many gay men in Atlanta or they're down low brothers. That's not the case.
No.
I honestly think that there are a lot of men in Atlanta that are heterosexual. But they just want to, like you said, everything is surrounding them, their whole life about how many women they can get and lay. And so when people are like, oh, but you can find somebody in the church, hey, you be like, yo, no, you can't.
You can.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. But, you can find good people everywhere. Find good people in the strip club,
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can't. Chances are, no, but once you get through all that junk, everybody's betraying, and people are good people generally.
Yeah.
And you just gotta. We all dealing with junk, and some people's layers are a little bit more. I couldn't date a woman from a strip club.
I mean, you can probably. really date? Like, if she was a reformed stripper, so you don't think that people can reform and change?
Absolutely. I know they can. We've
you helped. Sure? My mother told me a leper can never change.
No, we've helped many strippers get out their life, help them get jobs, and they haven't gone back, don't look back.
Really?
Yeah. And okay. But that takes a certain individual. It takes an individual of trust and of integrity. And to help that young lady know, mm-hmm. I'd rather be your pastor than your trick.
That's what's up. Because I think when it comes down to the mentality of strippers, their main thing is to get money.
We're all tricks.
The main thing is to get money.
Right.
Get money.
Right.
So when you have to tell them, like, you know, this is not what I'm bringing to you. I'm not trying to appease you and tell you what you're doing is right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And I want to see you grow as a human being and as a Christian. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah. And they'll test your gangster, and, you know.
Of course. But you know what? I would test your gangster.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to be honest, how many women go to church to actually go and set out and find men?
Right.
You know, I mean, yeah. Like, honestly, can mm-hmm. I keep it real with you?
Absolutely.
The male choir was singing one Sunday. I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
This woman said, she leaned over to her friend. Now, I'm sitting right beside her. She goes, the chocolate one over there with the beard is fine. Looking at the man in the men's choir. And I was like,
damn. I got one better for you. I'm going to trump you. I got one better for you.
Let's see this.
I got you. I know it's going to trump. One Sunday after church, we're standing out in the front.
Yeah.
As we know,
greeting people.
And I noticed in Elaine's shoes. I said, oh, I like those shoes. They were unique.
Right, right, right.
And I said, oh, those are really nice shoes. She said, they will look better on your shoulders.
No, she didn't. Okay, I'll shut down this right here. Because I love you. Let me tell you something. I love your wife. If I had heard that, I would have been like, boom.
I'm like, ow.
I would have had her back and she wouldn't have even been there. Like, seriously, did she?
Yeah.
But you got to realize that there are a lot of people out in our community that also have mental health issues.
Well, you know,
because she had to have been mental. She had to have been mental. No. That's some bold to say.
Maybe, but
wow.
You know, and keep it 100, she wasn't ugly. She, you know.
Right.
You know, I had to make a decision, like, okay, I can follow up and go here with you.
Dude, that's that temptation.
But that's what I'm saying. You're going to test me. You know what? That wasn't appropriate.
Right.
You know, you should have came with a better answer than that. You're a young lady.
Right.
You know, look where we just come out of.
Probably just got done taking communion.
You know, and was able to minister and help her to see, like,
wow,
you know,
that's not appropriate.
Yeah, that's not appropriate.
But you know what? And I think a lot of people just are not learned. Like, they just don't know no better.
But again, I could be a pastor, or I could be another one who smashed it.
Absolutely.
I'd rather be the pastor.
Absolutely.
I got a wife. We smashing up.
Yeah, I mean, hey. I mean, y'all married. That's
right.
What you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
And you know what? Like, a lot of people were taking, oh gosh, it was a pastor show that was on a television network, and it was a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really talking about, there was this one pastor that was on there. He's a gospel artist.
Yeah. I
can't remember.
Diedrich Haddon.
I started to say Diedrich, but it's Diedrich Haddon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he divorced his first wife, got married to this other girl, but before they got married, they had a kid.
Yeah.
And they were living together.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing is that I just feel like church people be in too many people's business too much. Like, you know, I understand if he's a pastor or if he's a minister and he's leading or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I just really don't need the opinions of church members.
Yeah.
I don't need the opinion. I need you to keep your opinions to yourself.
Absolutely.
And I think that when the church starts doing that and everybody, because what's really happening, and this is what I honestly believe that people have so much to say because they want to live this lifestyle, but they know that if they do, it will be all over for them.
Yeah.
Like, I know some people who, you know, are saying that they're Christians and they can't drink. And they look down on people who drink. But the mm-hmm. reason why they do that is because if they have a drink, they're going to get drunk.
Yeah, they're going to go all over.
They're going to go overboard.
Yeah.
You know? And so my whole thing is that I'm not you. You're not me.
Right.
Let's just live together and let's all be free.
We all need God. We all need salvation. We all need Christ.
Absolutely.
And now, if you're going to be a preacher, You gotta know what come with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this part of it, the high level of expectation, the false expectations people are gonna put on you, and that's part of it, and you gotta be able to walk in it. And there's a lot of stuff I can do, I won't do,
right?
Because what people may, how it may look.
Right.
It's part of it.
Get it.
If you don't like it, renounce it, say you don't wanna do this no more.
Right.
And then go do what you wanna do.
Okay.
But if you're really going to do this and be authentic, because people need hope, they need a message of hope. They, like you said, they want to. They look at the life of a Christian, a devout Christian, and they say, "Wow, I would really love that life. It looks peaceful. It's really not."
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have a level of peace.
Right.
It's a different living.
Right.
That's what we have to show. That's why young folk don't want to come to the church no more.
Yeah.
Because we fronted on them.
We lost that level of realness.
Yeah. You know, we was exposed.
Yeah.
You know, Kat came out, you know, there's some wonderful men of God, women of God who are pure and everything they do. Are they perfect? No.
Right.
But some jokers are just...
Hey. And you know what everybody does. They go and they say, yeah, you know, like, and then they'll say something like Bishop Eddie Long, and you'd be like, yeah. There's so many people like Bishop Eddie Long that don't even go to church. There's so many men that are out here, like I said, that have wives, that have girlfriends, that are living a different lifestyle. So, I mean, so if you're going to just go ahead and say that, then what about your cousin? What about your uncle?
You know
what about
I mean?
your classmate?
Right.
You know, stop putting these preachers on pedestals.
Yeah,
like
we don't deserve it, and it's unwarranted. It's never been required from God. Just somehow... the African American church, we always look for heroes and someone to look up to. And it was just a sanctified, you know, the folk in the street look up to the pimps, the drug dealers, the gangbangers, folk in Christian community look up to the preachers.
I got it. That's what's up. That's exactly what it is.
There's no issues. So I'm gonna go here since you keep holding me back.
Go there.
So, let's think about it and let's really look at this. A man, I'm in the world out. I'm a pimp.
Mm-hmm.
In the world, I got my hoes, I got all that, right?
Right.
I'm a pimp. Something happens that turns my life. I accept God in my life, Jesus Christ in my life. What would be the logical profession I would go into? I can't pimp no more. I got the gift of gab.
I get it.
I got the gift of gab. I know how to work my mouth.
Got you.
So you'll find many of the earlier preachers were ex-pimps.
Got it.
Converted.
Got it. Copy. I get it.
It's a natural transition.
Wow.
That's some of the most successful businessmen would be these drug dealers if they just changed their product.
Yeah. That's very true. That's very true.
Right?
Wow. That reminds me of this guy that's on Facebook right now who's cursing everybody out, but he says he's a preacher.
The cussing preacher. From Memphis.
And I'm like, yo, this dude had to have been a pimp in the past.
Yeah.
So I get it.
It's a natural progression.
Listen.
And so I know how to talk women into selling her body.
Yeah, now I'm going to talk women into going to church.
Who are the biggest attenders in church?
Women.
Come on now.
But the thing about it is, but you know what? This is sad to say, but I had this conversation on Facebook, and I think I tagged you, because one of my friends on Facebook said that preachers are pimps.
Not all of them.
But this is what he said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't say not all of them. He said preachers are pimps, and women use Christianity and going to church to basically punk their husbands and their men.
Unfortunately, too often in the black community, that's true.
That's sad.
Yeah. Think about it. I'm really going to get in trouble for what I'm about to say. Even the structure of the church. You have the ex-pimp preacher, right? Now he's a pastor.
Wow.
Excuse my language. His bottom bitch is the first lady now.
Wow. Yeah. That's the truth. That's the truth. With the biggest hat.
With the biggest hat.
And I know a few like that.
I
know a few like that. No, I'm so serious.
And they work there.
And they work in the and the crazy thing about it is that I see the first ladies really, really pulling in other women to make them say, oh, I want to be fancy, yeah, like First Lady.
Right.
I want blonde weave and fingernails and my makeup done like First Lady. Yeah. And so they're capturing these women.
Just that title, First Lady.
First Lady.
Just think about that title. I'm a married man. Why am I calling another woman First Lady?
That's crazy.
That's why
I'm so glad that I don't do, you know, I like that I came from an old school church, mm-hmm, because I really found out what church and what God was all about.
Right.
But I'm glad that I grew out of it and I'm not in a such a traditional church.
Nowhere in the Bible will you see First Lady.
None. None.
Nowhere.
There's a lot of things that we do traditionally, right, that are not in the Bible.
Yeah.
And we ain't gonna go through all that today.
Yeah. And it goes, you know, because slave mastery is.
Yeah, we've heard that.
Yeah, it's and until we as a people, one, stop looking for heroes in the community and be our own hero.
Yeah.
You know, and stand up and teach you how to be so submissive, unfortunately, that you don't think for yourself.
Right.
And we take the brain out of church. You know, some stuff just don't make sense.
Right.
You know, you pulling up in a Bentley and we live in the hood, but I don't have a Bentley.
It's very sad.
Yeah, and 1 + 1 = 2 everywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I know where my tithe just came out of my pocket.
Yeah.
There's no programs in the church. There's nothing. And when I come for benevolence, I can't get it.
Listen, we're going to have to end this. We're going to have to end this because we will be here all day long.
I love the church. I love God.
Yes.
I'm not leaving the church, but I'm being real.
You got to be real. And there's some things that we got to change.
Absolutely.
You know what, Pierce? You are right. You got to come back. We got to do this again. We got to do this again. And maybe I might bring Sarai.
Don't put me and Sarai in the same building. I'm temptation.
Sarai is off the chain. Sarai. I love her. I love her. She's real, though.
Yeah.
And she will challenge anybody who's not real.
In my mind, we used to date back in the day.
She is definitely the around the way girl.
In my mind.
Yeah,
back in the day.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So,
you know, she gave me the scratches on my neck.
Now you got your lady that does that. You have to get somebody who loves the Lord a little bit more.
Yeah, the scratches, you know. She ain't gonna mess up my car, but
none of that.
Yeah, but she gonna. I'm gonna know that she mad.
You crazy?
Yeah, we used to go together.
Listen, you gotta come back.
Please have me back.
I gotta. You know, we have so many things that we can talk about, but right now we gonna eat.
Okay, let's go.
And I cook for you. I got some sweet tea.
Look at God.
I got some pork chops.
Yeah.
I got some macaroni and cheese. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right, guys. It's been wonderful. Thank you for tuning in with the Dame, with the Dame Truth.
Yes.
If you don't know, now you know. Please share and leave a comment about this podcast because I can't wait to hear what you got to say. It's your girl, Edith Yolanda, and we're signing out. Y'all have a great day. Bye.